Okay, the rainbow is a very fascinating topic. We once spent time on this a while ago. Every so often we discuss the rainbow. Parashas Noach is the perfect time to talk about the rainbow. No, it's not necessary, Okay, end of Parashas Noach, we learn after the Mabul is over, Hashem says, the parasha in the Torah it's very elaborate. There's a lot of verbosity, and that creates a whole topic of discussion of why there is so much elaboration in the Torah about the rainbow. So let me just read the psukim. The Mabul is over. Vayim Elokim. Hashem says, let me go back one second. Okay, Vayomer. Okay, it's in Chamishi. It's the beginning of Chamishi. Anyone who gets this week the part of the Chamishi, they're getting the Aliyah of the rainbow. Vayemer lekim al noyach v'elbonav ito lemar v'ani hinini meikim es brisi itchem. I want to make some wild diyukim with you. Throughout the parasha, every time Hashem talks to Noyach, he says him and your wife. The wife is always a very important part of the parasha. It says, like when they left the Teva, Yetzei Noach ubonav v'ishtoi and his wife unishevonav ito and the wives of his children. Isn't that obvious? If Noach is leaving the Teva, ishtoi kegufai. Every time it says that Hashem said talks to Moshe or told Moshe, I want you to go. Of course, when Moshe goes, he goes with his wife. I mean, it's not necessary to always mention a person's wife. It's not necessary to go, if you talk to your children, of course, it means your children and their wives. By Yaakov Avinu, when he talks about Yaakov Avinu, does it have to go mention Rachel and Leah? Every time Hashem tells him, I want you to travel, now the time has come for you to leave. Of course, it means you're going to leave with your wives, with Rachel and Leah, your children. Yet, for some reason, When it comes to the Mabul, we're always mentioning the wife. Vayomer Hashem al Noach, boy ata v'chol beischa, all of your entire bais. What's chol beischa? The different interpretations what it means. Some say it means your possessions, but it means ishtoi ein, a person's bais is his wife. That's what it generally means. Okay, if you go through all of the psukim, you'll see over and over again, Vayavai Noach, Uvonav v'ishtoi, Unishay vonav itoi el ha-teva mibnei mehamabel. When Noach entered the teva, he says he went with his wife, his children and their wives. When he left the teva, he left with his wife and with his children and his daughter-in-laws. Yet, all of a sudden, when it comes now to the keshes, there's no mention of women. Women are deliberately left out of the rainbow. Beginning of Chamishi, there's a sudden shift. All of a sudden, women, they're not part of the picture. Vayoymer Elokim El Noach, the El Bonov Itoy Lemar. How come until now, every time we mention Noach, it mentioned Noach with his wife, his sons, and their wives? Noach and your bayis, here for the first time in the parasha, we only talk to Noach and we do not make any mention of his wife. It appears that this has something to do with men more than with women. We have to keep that thought in mind. Va'ani, hinani meikim es brisi itchem. Notice over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the word ani. Aseres HaDibros. How does the Aseres HaDibros begin? Onoichi Hashem Eloikech. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminded, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to this world to give the Torah, what was the word HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced himself with? V'onoichi Hashem Elokecha. Here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear in a rainbow, Yecheskel says that the rainbow represents the Demus Elokim. One of the primary sources for a rainbow, that it represents the Shekhinah, is the Pasuk in Yecheskel, when Yecheskel saw the Ma'aseh Merkava, which we lay on Shavuos, he saw the image of Hashem, it says that the Mare was Kidmus HaKeshes Ba'onan. The image of Hashem was like the image of a keshes in a cloud. And here, how does Hashem introduce himself? Va'ani, not with the word Onoichi. So far, two points of, number one, Onoichi, Ani versus Onoichi. Number two, we're mentioning, there's no mention of the wife. Okay, next. Meikim es brisi itichem. V'yez zarachem acharechem. I'm making a bris. Third point I want to mention. This is, that we always focus on, oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. We have the bris bein habesorim. One of the fundamentals of Yadus is going back to Avram Avinu. Hashem made with him a bris bein habesorim that ki biyitzchok yikore l'cho zora. Biyitzchok v'loy kol yitzchok. The bris bein habesorim was about the guarantee that he will have children who will inherit Eretz Yisrael. There were two things leading up to the bris bein habesorim. V'anochi holech ariri ben mesek besi hu yori. Hashem says, do not worry. V'ayotzi oisa hachutza. Hashem showed Avram Avinu the stars. Koye zaracha. V'hemen b'Hashem. And then it came to Eretz Yisrael b'mo'eda. And that began the bris bein habesorim. So we have a bris bein habesorim and we have a bris. Stam bris is noyach. Now, Rashi tells us ordinarily when you make a bris, you have to pass through two parts. Ordinary way of making a bris, you take something, you split it into two, and you walk down the center. You take one, that's how a bris is ordinarily made. We take an item, we split it, and we go down the center. Symbolically, that represents, I don't even know what it represents symbolically, but there's a splitting of something that is complete. We have that clearly by Avraham Avinu, the bris bein habesorim, where the animals were split into two, and kavyochol, the Shechina, and Avraham Avinu, they passed between the two. Now, what was the Shechina passing between the two? There was an amud esh. There was a pillar of fire, I think it says here, it's Maj Rashi, that represented Hashem, that passed between the two parts of the animals, and Avraham Avinu passed between the two parts of the animals. By Noach, it doesn't say anywhere that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Noach walked past between two parts. All it says is, Va'ani, Hinani, Meikim, I will establish Es Brisi, Itechem, V'es Zarachem, Acharechem. Okay, so this already is, I think, the fourth element we've discussed. Ani versus Anoichi, Bris versus Bris Bein HaBesarim. There is no passing between the parts. And there's no mention of women when it comes to Noach, even though until now everything that Hashem says to Noach included women. Then it goes on to say, so the Eis Kol Nefesh Chaya, besides you, the Eis Kol Nefesh Chaya Asher Itchem Ba'oif Ba'behima Uvichol Chayas Aretz Itchem Mikol Yotzei Ateva L'chol Chayas Aretz. There's some little repetition here. Okay, whatever it is. Now it says again. Nochamo, there's a lot of verbosity. This is very, very difficult, this parsha. Vahaki maisi esbrisi itichem. Excuse me, you just said that. There is repetition. It starts off by saying, Va'ani hinani meikim esbrisi itichem. And now it says in two psukim later, Vahaki maisi esbrisi itichem. What's this all about? What's the difference here? It doesn't say Va'ani. Here there's no mention of the word Va'ani. The word Va'ani is absent. Okay, here what does it say? V'lo yikoreis, here it's a more elaborate. The bris is V'lo yikoreis. I will not cut off kol basar oid mimei hamabul, V'lo yihye oid mabul l'shacheis aretz. In this bris, the focus is the negative. There will not be korban. The first time there's a mention of bris is positive. The first pasuk, ואני הנני מקים אס בריסי איתכם, ויש זרחם אחריכם ואיס כל נפש חיו, there will be a bris. It doesn't say what the bris is, but it does not say anything negative. It almost sounds like a bris by definition, a treaty. When you make a bris, ordinarily the connotation is we're partners, we're here together, we're here to take care of each other. The connotation of a bris by definition is something positive. And there it says va'ani. Then when the pasuk repeats itself, in pasuk yud aleph, and it mentions the bris and it does not say the word va'ani, here it focuses on something negative, something that will not happen. I will not destroy you. Fine. Then it says it the third time. Pasuk yud beis, va'yoymer Elokim. Now here it's Elokim. It's not no longer va'ani. Now Hashem is speaking. Va'yoymer Elokim. There's no longer the I. First it says va'ani. Then it says va'hakimosi. There is the implied I. Va'hakimosi. It doesn't say va'ani make him. It says va'hakimosi. That expression is an implied recognition that there is Hashem, but Hashem is invisible. It's not explicit. The third time, I know, but it doesn't say the word exactly, but it doesn't say ani. It could have said that the first time as well. You're right. If it only would say it once, then you would not be able to make a diuk. The fact that there is a contrast, there are two psukim which say the same thing, there's repetition. And in one, the first pasuk, it says, va'ani hinini mekim es brisi. And in the second pasuk, it says, va'hakimoisi, and leaves out va'ani, that allows us to make this diuk. You don't need the repetition period. And if you're going to repeat yourself, be precise, repeat yourself word for word. Why in the first pasuk does Hashem refer to himself the word va'ani? And in the second pasuk, Hashem does not refer to himself with the whole word. It's just implied. Vahakimosi is part of the grammatical form of Vahakimosi. And then the third time we make mention of the bris, it's Vayoymer Elokim. Hashem is speaking. And Hashem identifies himself as Elokim. It doesn't say Vayomer Hashem Yudke Vavke. Hashem identifies himself as the Midas Hadin, Elokim. It's getting worse and worse here. Zois, Ois, Habris. This is the Ois Habris Asher Ani Noisein Beini Uveinechem, between you, Uvein Kol Nevesh Chayasher Itchem L'Doyros Oilam. What's going on here? This is the third time, and what is it now? He finally says, Pasuk Gimel, Eskashti, my bow, Nosati Be'anon, V'Hoysol L'Ois Bris, Beini uveina oretz v'hoya v'hoya ba'anani onon al ha'oretz v'niraso ha'keshes be'onon v'zochareti es brisi asher beini uveinichem uvein kol nefesh chayo b'chol basar v'lo ye'oid ha'mayim l'mabul l'shachis kol basar v'hoysa ha'keshes be'onon urisio lizkor bris olam bein ha'alakim uvein kol nefesh chayo b'chol basar asher al oretz v'yom elokim ol noyach. The verbosity here is off the charts. Now, on a simple level, I want to suggest is that the three introductions correspond to the three conclusions. Now, I spent a lot of time going through the introduction. Let's go through the conclusion. Let's go through the psukim when Hashem reveals the bris. After Hashem, let's recap. First time Hashem says to Noach, Va'ani. The second time Hashem says, Va'hakimoisi. The third time Hashem says, Va'yoymer Elokim. Okay, three different stages. It's like Hashem is slowly, gently breaking the news to Noach that there's going to be a covenant. First Hashem va'ani, then he says va'hakimoisi, and the third time va'yoymer Elokim. We're going from soft to harsh. When Hashem says Va'ani, it's like Yisro. Ani Yisro Choisencha Bo'elecha. Hashem doesn't say Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi is a very harsh term. Anochi was used by Matan Torah. It says when Hashem said Anochi, everyone died from terror. Anochi, Ani, in contrast to Anochi, has a connotation of friendliness. And then Hashem is not so friendly. Vahakim Oisi, the Ani is absent. And the third time, Hashem is very harsh. He says, Vayoymer Elokim. Number one, Hashem is distant. Hashem is not, it's very formal. And Elokim is Midas Hadin. Okay, so it's important we appreciate that. That in the intro, in the beginning of Chamishi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Noach, and begins to wind up to tell him there's going to be a rainbow, he opens up the rainbow in a series of three pisukim. The first is very friendly. The second is neutral. And the third is harsh. And now we're going to have a parallel to that. Another three pisukim. The first is es kashti nasati be'anon, my rainbow. Okay, this is number one. Be'anon v'hoysol oisperis be'ni uvein haaretz. Okay, that's pasuk number one. Next pasuk number two. V'hoya be'anani anon al haaretz v'nir'asa hakeshes. Here is the second mention of the word keshes. Be'anon. When I will appear in a cloud, my keshes will be seen. And then the pasuk goes on to say, it's a continuation. And then is the third time it says the word keshes. V'hoyisah hakeshes. It says in the Torah, in the Chamishi, the word keshes three times. In three different sentences. V'hoyisah hakeshes be'onon. Urisio. Lizkar bris oilam. Bein Elokim. Here it uses the word Elokim. Uvein kol nefesh chayim kol bosa shal aretz. And then, Vayom Elokim al noach zois ois habrist. I'm assuming that's going to be a continuation because it's the same part, same continuation. Asher kimoisi beini vein kol aretz asher bosa kol aretz. So I'm trying over here to suggest, I think it's very clear, I'm not very clear, is there are really three different covenants being made here. The word keshes is expressed three times in this aliyah. In three different, not just three times the word keshes. Each time the word keshes is used, it's used in a different expression, in a different context. Before we get to the three mentions of keshes, in the beginning of the parasha, in the beginning of the aliyah, there's an intro. And there are three completely separate introductions. The first introduction is a very friendly introduction. The second introduction is a neutral, call it a neutral introduction. And the third introduction is a very harsh introduction. If we look carefully, when after the three introductions and we go into the three presentations of the keshes, the first is a very friendly keshes. The second is a neutral keshes. And the third is a very harsh keshes. Now let's look at the presentations, the soft Goldilocks. Not too soft, not too hard, just right. There's the soft, the medium, and the harsh. When the first pasuk is very soft, es kashti, my keshes, nosati, I have already put, it's already there. It's already there, be'onon. The hoysa, there's no drama here. Okay, we have to go back and analyze this, but let's just get the basics. The second time, there's a little more drama. It's not the past tense anymore. It's going to be there when I show up. When when that day comes and I decide to appear, to put my cloud upon the earth, then you're going to see v'nir asa, it will appear, hakeshes be'anon. It's not the same as the first pasuk. The first pasuk says, you see the keshes? It's been there from day one. I put it there. It's nice. It's pretty. Take a picture. The second pasuk says, the day is going to come. I'm going to arrive on the scene. And when I appear in a cloud upon the earth, I'm going to appear in the keshes. And then it goes on to say, I'm going to remember my bris. And the water is not going to destroy the world. And then the third time it says keshes. It says keshes with the word Elohim. Keshes be'anon, in the cloud. Uri siha, I will see it. I will look at it. Hashem says, I will look at it. Lizkar, to remember the bris olam, bein Elokim. Here we mention Elokim, midas hadin, uvein kol nefesh chaya b'chol basa asher al aretz, v'ayom Elokim anoach zois ois habris asher kimosi beini uvein kol basa asher al aretz. So I want to suggest to you is as follows, and I have a lot of sources to back this up. I have a very good sefer called Hakeshes Behalach Sekuntres. We actually used this a couple of years ago. I have it. I never went through the whole thing. I tried to spend some more time on it yesterday, learned new Yisaydas. But one thing is very clear. There are different types of rainbows. There's certainly a scientific reality that when light bends, it produces color. It produces a rainbow. That's a given. And from the pasuk, you get the impression that Kadosh Baruch Hu was creating something new that did not exist. And all the commentators ask, what does that mean exactly? Hashem didn't create the rainbow after the Mabul was over. The rainbow is a scientific reality that existed with the creation of the world. So the simple answer given is, that's right. There was a reality of a rainbow, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he just selected the rainbow. He could have selected a million things. He selected the rainbow to be the sign that Hashem will not destroy the world anymore. Hashem didn't create. Whoever said that Hashem had to create something new? Hashem took something which already pre-existed, and he just designated a pre-existing object to be the sign, to be the symbol of he will not destroy the world. On the other hand, you get the impression from many of the Mepharshim that no, the rainbow was indeed a creation. And then there is also a discussion that the rainbow that we see in the sky after it rains is not the rainbow that we're talking about here in the pasuk. This rainbow is a spiritual rainbow. It's like tzaras. Today, is there something called tzaras? So the common belief is no. Tzaras is a spiritual sickness. It's a supernatural discoloration of the skin that cannot be defined or understood according to the laws of science. There's something called leprosy. Shimon Schwab discusses this, that typically they came together. A person suffers from leprosy, which is a scientific, something which can be defined clearly in the laboratory. And together with the physical leprosy, there's also the spiritual tzaras, which is something which is supernatural, which cannot be described, cannot be understood in the laboratory. So many of the commentators, they learned that the keshes that it's describing over here in this pasuk is not the keshes that we see in the sky. The keshes that we see in the sky is multicolored. Okay, it's multicolored, the colors of a rainbow. The keshes that the pasuk here is describing as a keshes from one color only, a keshes of techeles, like the tzitzis. The tzitzis uri'isem oisoy uzichartem. Yam, the techeles, is doimel liyam. And the yam looks like the seabed. And the yam is doimel lirokia. And the rokia is doimel to the kisei hakovod. What is the rokia? The rokia is blue? Since when is the rokia blue? When you look in the sky, you see a blue sky? Some will tell you, yeah, it's a light blue sky, but that's not the color of Techeles. Techeles, we have an assumption Techeles is more of a darker blue than the color blue we see in the sky. So L'chor, it means the keshes in the rokia. There is a keshes, a rainbow that we can that you go outside after it stops raining and under certain conditions, or if you want to go to Niagara Falls, you can see a similar type of a rainbow when the rainbow is there 24/7. You go take a garden hose, and you spray the garden hose outside of your house. You can recreate what a rainbow. You can see the colors of a rainbow. When it rains, you can see it in the sky, a rainbow. That's not the rainbow that we're discussing here. The rainbow we're discussing over here is a spiritual rainbow that has a, that is the color blue, that is a color of blue only. Okay, that is.
Any hint of that in the psukim?
What?
Usually a keshes is multicolored.
Okay, you have to look in the Rishonim. But what I want to stress over here is, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. We mentioned over here in this pasuk three rainbows. It's clear as day. There's so much verbosity here. We just spent 20 minutes. There are three introductions, and then there are three presentations. The three introductions correspond to the three presentations. In the Mefarshim, there's clearly a disagreement of what was the rainbow that we are talking about. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, okay, which is the Bible for Lubavitch, the code of law, he did not, which parallels the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Cairo, he left out all the laws of a rainbow. He did not mention any halacha of making what bracha you make, when to make the bracha, all the very, I want to spend some time also with the halachas, we'll do that soon. But he left out all the laws of a rainbow. Why? Because obviously he held that Bizman has said there's no such thing as making a bracha on a rainbow. Because he held the bracha you make on a rainbow is only on a supernatural rainbow, which does not exist today. Or we do not have the eyes, the spiritual level, to see such a rainbow. Then that's not accepted lehalacha. Most of the poskim are of the opinion that today, if you go outside after it rains and you look in the sky and you can see a rainbow, if you see a rainbow, especially if you have all the conditions which are met, which means you can see both ends of the rainbow. The rainbow goes, you have the entire arch of the rainbow, halachalam, and that's a natural phenomenon. That is a scientific reality. There's nothing supernatural about this. Then you make a bracha. And the bracha we're going to discuss with you is a very unusual bracha. If you would not know otherwise, what bracha would you make on a rainbow? Off the bat, you would say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. Just like you make that bracha on a lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse, you make that bracha on lightning, you make the bracha Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis is a catch-all bracha when you see something unusual that relates to Briyas HaOlam. Oisim is a rainbow. It's an unusual thing to see. It represents something beautiful or something very, very unique. Oisim Ma'aseh Bereishis. If a person makes a bracha, Oisim Ma'aseh Bereishis on a rainbow, he has made a bracha levatola, lechol hadeos. The Gemara says the bracha you make, there is a machloik, the big machloik in the Gemara, what bracha you make. And along comes Rav Papa, who is the big diplomat. Rav Papa in the Gemara is always a diplomat. There's always a major, major war between the Rabbanan. Today, you know, when we fight today in the Halacha, it's very civil. Because, you know, it's not so important. When we fight about masks, then we'll kill each other. When we fight about a piece of Gemara, so no, you say this, I say that, you have a svar, it's very polite. Time Chazal, when they fought over a piece of Gemara, they would kill each other. Who's correct in the Pshat, in the Halacha? They would literally, their life depended on who's right, who's wrong in a matter of Halacha. And there's a machlokes, what bracha you make when you see a rainbow. One opinion says the correct bracha is Zoicher Habris. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Zoicher Habris. And the other opinion says the brach you make is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Neman Bibrisoi V'Kayom B'Mamoroi. Two opinions. Along comes Rav Papa Kedarkoi. He does this all the time. And he says, let's make peace. Let the world exist. You're right, and you're right. We'll say them both. Hilkach nimrinu litarvayu. Let's say both blessings. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Zoicher Habris, V'neman Bibrisoi, V'kayom B'mamoroi. Okay, so we follow Rav Papa, and we say, we take two opinions and we bring them together to make an elaborate bracha. You don't have this anywhere by any other brachas that we make relating to Maaseh Bereishis. When it comes to a lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse, it comes to a falling star, all these other things that you make brachas on. If you make a bracha, you make one bracha only. Oisei Maaseh Bereishis. But when it comes to a rainbow, it's a whole different world. Now, why? Obviously, the rainbow represents something very, very different. It represents something that's much, much more significant. And here I want to suggest to you is that there are really three different types of rainbows. There are three covenants that Hashem is making with Noach. Number one. Let's look in the pasuk. Let's just discuss. Number one, let me look backwards. I think the Gemara talks about different generations where a rainbow never appeared. A rainbow never appeared. And the Gemara says that's a very good thing, because when a rainbow appears in the sky, it's a bad sign. In fact, it's such a bad sign, according to most opinions, you're not allowed to tell a person, guess what? Go outside. There's a rainbow. You're not allowed to tell. You're not allowed to do it. Moitzi diba kasil. Anyone that informs someone of bad news is a fool. Why would you want to go tell someone there's a rainbow outside? What benefit is that? So you should go outside and make a bracha? Meichel the bracha. To be informed that the world is coming to an end is not it's Hashem is basically saying, you know what, I don't like you, you're not behaving, I really should destroy the world right here and now. The only reason why I'm not destroying the world is because I promised I won't destroy the world, but you're evil, you're making trouble. You're making trouble, you've done terrible averos, and you deserve to be destroyed. I'm only going to hold back because I made a covenant with Noach that I'm not going to destroy the world. So it's not a good thing. If you live in a generation where it never happened, ever, that the rainbow appeared in the sky, what does that in essence mean? That Hashem has a lot of satisfaction with this world. He has satisfaction with the people who live in this world, and they're good people, and he does not need to destroy them. In fact, he's very happy to keep them around. They deserve to live and survive and be successful. And the Gemara talks about Rabbi Shimbai in the different generations where rainbows did not appear. The Gemara says, the generation of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there was no rainbow. The generation of Shaul, there was no rainbow. The generation of Rashbi, there was no rainbow. The generation of Hashem Bar Yochai, there was no rainbow. The Gemara goes through different generations of where there was no rainbow. Now, I want to make a diuk. I didn't see this anywhere, but I want to make a diuk. When the Gemara talks about the generations where rainbows did not appear, let's focus on two examples. The generation of Chizkiyahu Melech Yisrael and the generation of, let's say, Rashbi. and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shuben and Rabbi Shuben Levi. There's a very big difference between the generation of Chizkiyahu and the generation of Rashbi and Rabbi Shuben Levi. In the generation of Chizkiyahu, the Gemara makes it very clear, the whole generation was with the program, were tzaddikim. The Gemara says that Chizkiyahu's legacy is his, not just his unique love for the study of Torah, it's he was able to infect the Jewish people with this love. It says in his generation, Bodku, they thrust a sword into the door of the Beis Medrash, a cheref in the Beis Medrash, Bodku midon va'ad be'er sheva, b'loy matzu, tinoik v'tinoikes, they did not find a child in the entire land of the Jews, of Eretz Yisrael, that was not fluent in the most difficult sections of the Torah. Negoim v'ohelos. The whole generation was observant, was with the program. In contrast to that, the Gemara also says that in the generation of Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, a rainbow did not appear. But we have to understand it for a very different reason. In the generation of Rashbi, the people were not good. They were malshin on him. They told the government that no Rashbi, he doesn't have good things to say about you. When he came out of the cave, what did he see people doing? He saw people wasting their time. He saw people milling about. And his son Eliezer, he gave one look at these people. They turned into a pile of stones, pile of bones. And a baskel came out and said, what are you coming out of the cave to destroy my world? Go back into the cave. And when they went back into the cave for another year, they came out. They were tolerant. The generation was not in a state of perfection. But there was one person who was. And in his merit, he saved the whole generation, the Hashem and Rachmanis, and the whole generation, and there wasn't a need for a rainbow. So in other words, sometimes you have a generation where the reason why there's no rainbow is because the whole society is a great society. Hashem has nachas from society. And then you have a generation where society is not so great, but you have tzaddikim. It's this tzaddik and this tzaddik. And in the merit of this tzaddik, in the merit, Hashem spears the whole generation. A famous story of Moshe Feinstein. Of Moshe Feinstein, everyone knows the story. It's a beautiful story. It's in the book where one day someone came running to Rav Moshe and says that a Jewish child right outside of Moshe's window in the street, the FDR, right outside his window, was just run over by a car. The police, the ambulance came, they took him away. It doesn't seem from what happened that the kid's okay. So Rav Moshe said to him, how do you know it was a Jewish child? So he said, there's a yarmulke lying there on the floor. The yarmulke lying right there where the kid was run over, there's a yarmulke. It had to have been a Jewish, who else would bring a yarmulke? It had to be a Jewish child. So Rav Moshe said, impossible. And Kachava wasn't a Jewish child. It wasn't. And he asked Rav Moshe later on, how did you know? How were you so certain? So Rav Moshe said, putting all humility aside, it can't be that I sit here and I really learn L'shem Shemayim. It can't be that in my little vicinity, over I learned Torah L'shem Shemayim, something like this can happen. This can't be. It's not unique to me or much. Anyone. You sit and you learn Torah L'shem Shemayim, and outside my window, a Jewish child should be run over by a car? Impossible. It can't. Torah is Megan. Torah protects. Okay, unfortunately, in our generation, we don't see that. We don't have such tzaddikim like Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Talmud says something so simple. But the principle is true. We're living in a generation where you have a tzaddik, a holy person. It's real, the real deal, okay? The real, real deal. It's not so easy today to find people that are the real deal. They protect the whole generation. But there's a fundamental difference between the two. When you have the two examples that I gave, the Gemara gives it, in the generation of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Bodku midon v'ad be'er shev le'matzot tinik v'tinoikes, the whole generation were tzaddikim. They merited incredible miracles. Sanhedrin came with 185,000 soldiers. Some say 185,000 generals, battalions. An enormous amount of soldiers came to destroy Yerushalayim, and a miracle happened. They all died in the middle of the night. Suddenly. The whole generation were tzaddikim. In that generation, it never happened that there was a rainbow. Hashem never needed to say to the world, guess what? I want to destroy you, but you know what? I have Rachmanis, I made a bris, I'm not going to destroy you. That was not necessary. You know why it's not necessary? Because everyone is a good person. And then there's another generation where there was also not a rainbow. But it wasn't because the whole generation were tzaddikim. It was because there was one tzaddik. One tzaddik was enough to spare the whole generation. Now let me ask you, which generation would you want to live in? Would you want to live in a generation where there's only one tzaddik that's saving everybody? Or in a generation where everyone is a tzaddik? Maybe not on the level of that one tzaddik. Certainly, it's a whole different caliber when the whole generation, are tzaddikim. So there are different levels of Hashem not destroying the world. And then there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with the generation, he wants to destroy the world, and he presents a rainbow. And the rainbow, as we mentioned before, according to one opinion, it's not like tsaras. It's not a rainbow of multicolored rainbow that we have today, but rather it's a rainbow of techeles. Chazal said the word techeles comes from tichle. Tichle means to destroy. Techeles, it's a rainbow which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to destroy this world, but because he made a bris, he's not going to destroy the world. Now, let's take those ideas and plug it back into this pasuk. In the presentation of the rainbow, there are three pasukim. The first pasuk says, Hashem says, there's not going to be eskashti nosati be'anon v'hoysa l'ois beris b'ni uvein ha'aretz. This is something good. This corresponds to the first intro. In the first intro, there is no mention that Hashem is going to destroy the world. That Hashem doesn't want. Hashem's Vayom Elokim al Noyach, Vilbonavita Lemar, Vani, Hinani, Mekim es Brisi Itchem, Viezarachem, Acharechem, Viez Kol Nefesh Chayasha Itchem, Be'oif, Babahemu, Vichol Chayas Aretz Itchem, Mikol Yotze Atev, Vichol Chayas Aretz. A rainbow is something good. Yecheskel, when he described the Ma'aseh Merkava, when he saw the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem was Megala himself. He revealed himself to Klal Yisrael, to the world. Udmus Hashem, I forgot the exact words now, was like the brilliance of a rainbow. The Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to Yecheskel. It was a revelation of Rachamim. In fact, Chazal say that the time of Mashiach, we don't yearn for the coming of Mashiach. It's a Zohar, until the rainbow comes. There is a rainbow, and when the Ikvus of the Mashiach, there will be a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will begin to reveal himself to this world in the form of a rainbow, because the rainbow is a symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation in this world. There is a positive rainbow, a rainbow of blessing, of bracha. It's the demus of Hashem. It's the rainbow of Yecheskel. It represents that even where we're in Golus, Imoy Anoichi Bitzara, I'm here for you. I'm here to get you through this difficult matzav. I appear to you. There's a tradition that by tzaddikim, when they die, there a rainbow appears in some form, or some form. There is a rainbow which is a revelation of Hashem's divine presence, which is a positive element. That is the first rainbow of Chamishi. There's an intro which corresponds to a presentation. The intro is purely positive. It's soft. Va'ani, I. Hashem is presenting himself with a term of endearment. I am here. I will establish with you, Noach. It's now time to rebuild this world. I'm going to make with you a covenant, a bris. It says there's such beautiful expressions on Rosh Hashanah in the Nusach of the Musaf, where Hashem, where we review the covenant that Hashem made with Noach to have rachmanis upon him to establish the world. The bris. Which bris? But I thought the bris of Noach is a bad thing. It's a rainbow. It's a bad sign. Might see Dibara. No! That's not the first rainbow. The first intro, we have repetition. Three different rainbows. The first rainbow is Va'ani. It's the term of endearment. What happened to Pasuk over here? 1 second, I lost the Pasuk. The first in Chamishi. The first is Va'ani, Hinani Meikim Es Brisi Itchem, V'yezalachem Acharechem, V'yez Kol Nevesh Chaya. This is something which is positive. Corresponds to the first rainbow, Es Kashti Nosati Be'anon, my Kashti, meaning my divine presence. Hashem relates the rainbow to himself, his revelation. And that explains all of the Mamari Chazal that present the rainbow as something good. Then we come to another rainbow. And this rainbow, I want to suggest, is the natural rainbow.
That doesn't work.
Okay, is the natural rainbow, that exists in this world. What is the natural rainbow of nature? This is a sign that basically Hashem will let the world continue. We'll let the world continue, even though we don't deserve it. Now there are two levels of not deserving, corresponding. This corresponds to what I wanted to say before, of the two types of generations. There's a generation, like we mentioned, of Chizkiyahu, where, let's talk about Chizkiyahu. Everyone is good. Everyone is a good person. But sometimes, not everyone is so good. But we're not so bad where we need a super duper tzaddik to save us. We're good, but we're lacking. So being that we're lacking, Hashem is angry. But Hashem, you know what? I'm going to overlook it. That is the regular rainbow we have out there in the world. When you go outside and you see a rainbow, a natural physical rainbow of all the colors, what does that represent? It represents that, you know, we could do better. Hashem is reminding us, you know something? You should do better. You could do better. But just because you get a B in the course doesn't mean you don't graduate. Okay, even if you get a C, we have some presidents who got C students. Just because you get C in the course doesn't mean you're a failure. Hashem says, you know, you can do better. When you see the regular rainbow, Hashem is upset. Why? Hashkacha pratis. Why have you not done better? Now, even though you got a C, I'm not going to throw you out of the house. I'm not going to take away your allowance. You'll still get a job. But you know, it's disappointing. That's the disappointment of Hashem is represented in the regular rainbow that we see in the world when HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges it, that it should rain in the clouds in a certain position, and we have that rainbow. That's the second presentation, and that is the second introduction. The second introduction was Va'ani, Hinini, is Pasuk Yud Aleph. The second intro, Vahaki Moisi, Es Brisi Itichem, I will establish my bris with you, V'lo Yikores, Kol Basa Oid Mimei HaMabul, V'lo Yihye Oid Mabul L'Shachis Aretz. I expected better. Hashem is striving that we should achieve perfection. And when we fail, it's disappointing. And Hashem shows us the rainbow as his sign of disappointment. You should have gotten an A, not a C. But it doesn't
needs
say,
improvement.
But it doesn't say Elokim, Midas Hadin. And that corresponds to the next presentation. Go down the Pasuk Yedalet. V'hoya ba'anani onon al ha'aretz. When I will come down to this world, I will cast my shadow, my cloud. V'nirasa keshes ba'anon. You're going to see the keshes. And you're going to see that I'm disappointed. Then, and v'zacharti as brisi asher b'ni v'nechem v'chol b'nechem v'chol nechem v'chol nechem v'lo yoy l'mabul shas kolos. I'm not going to destroy the world. But I'm disappointed because I really expected better of you. And then we come to the third keshes. The third keshes is the keshes of techeles. This is like the tsaras, the supernatural keshes, which we don't see today altogether, which you have to have special eyes to see, special x-ray vision to be able to see, special supernatural, which Chazal talk about, a keshes that's from techeles, of one color only, which L'chayr, according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that's the only type of keshes you can make a bracha on, and because he does not bring down these halachas, he holds that you don't make a keshes in a regular, that's the third presentation, V'ayoyimer Elokim, Zois Ois Bris, Abris, Asher Ani Noisem, Beinu Ve'enechem, Kol Nevesh Chaya, Asher Eichem, L'doris Oilam, it says Elokim. Elokim here means, you know what, I'm gonna wipe you out. I'm gonna finish you off. Even though it says L'shaches Kolbasa in the previous pasuk, yet still it doesn't say Elokim. Here it says Elokim, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very frustrated. This corresponds to the type of generation like Rashbi. In the generation of Rashbi, it would almost appear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have destroyed the world. It was much worse. But because there was one holy, extremely holy tzaddik, he saved the whole generation. That's not ideal. It would be much more ideal if the whole generation were tzaddikim, not one tzaddik to save the generation. And when you have one of those tzaddikim, so then Hashem doesn't need even to bring the keshes. But let's say you don't even have one of those tzaddikim, then Hashem brings a supernatural keshes, the blue keshes, the tcheles keshes, which means, I am fed up. Now I'm going to throw you out. You deserve now, you get an F for the course. And if you get an F for the course, that means you're out. And the only reason why you're not out is because I made a shavua that I'm not going to destroy the world. That's bad news. That keshes is the third keshes that it says, that third intro corresponds to the third keshes that it says in the pasuk, V'hoysa ha-keshes be'anan, Uri Isial, look at it, Hashem says, Liskar bris oilam bein Elokim b'midas adin uvein kol nefesh chayah b'chol basa asher la'aretz. So this is my suggestion, because after going through the sugya, you clearly learn that there's more than one keshes. There is a good keshes. There appears to be three different types of rainbows. There appears to be a rainbow of the Shechina that is mamish, the revelation of Hashem for the Geula, the rainbow of Yechezkel, that Yechezkel saw. You can't say the rainbow that Yechezkel saw is the rainbow that's blue, that Hashem represents Techeles, which has a similar relationship to the word Tichle, that Hashem's going to destroy the world. Hashem is not here to destroy the world, Hashem created the world. You can't say they're the same, this can't be. So we have three different types of rainbows in Chazal. We have a rainbow which represents Hashem's Shechina. We have a rainbow which is clearly a natural part of this world, which You can go out after it rains and look into the sky and try to find it. Or if you want, you can artificially recreate it in some shape or form. And then we have another rainbow, which Chazal tell us, which is a supernatural rainbow, which is only one color, which means Hashem is now going to destroy the world, would have destroyed the world because of our sins. And it's not a coincidence that we have over here six different sections in this very long aliyah. You get Chamishi, you're getting the aliyah of the rainbow. And in the rainbow, you have a three-part introduction, repetition. Three sections that clearly repeat itself three times. And then in the presentation, there's a triple repetition in the presentation. We're trying to suggest Zeh Lu'uma Zeh. The first intro corresponds to the first presentation. The second intro, the second presentation. The third intro, the third presentation. There are three types of rainbows. There is the good rainbow, Hashem Shechina, the positive, the goal to reveal Hashem in this world. There is the second rainbow, which is the natural rainbow, which when HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges to Hashkacha Pratis for us to see it, Hashem is trying to give us a little encouragement. A little encouragement, Yishuv Mechazik yourself, you can do better. And then there's the third supernatural rainbow that's blue, which represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. He's angry and he wants to destroy the world and we're deserving of punishment. And if we don't ship up, and it's only because Hashem made a covenant that this is not going to, Hashem will not destroy the world. Okay, so that's the drush part of the rainbow. Halacha l'maisa, let's discuss some quick halachas about a rainbow. Okay, so first of all, there's a general rule that a rainbow generally, even though I told you all this drush, a rainbow generally is not considered to be a good thing. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. And therefore, there's a halacha that a person is not supposed to intensely gaze at a rainbow. It's also lehistakel. It's mutar liras. If you see a rainbow outside, you can give a glance. Go outside, you see a rainbow, you can give a glance, but you're not supposed to intensely study it, to look at it, because it's considered, since it's something which is not good, and also, to a degree, it represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not proper to look at Hashem's revelation. So you just glance, but not to intensely look at it. In order to make a bracha, there's a dilemma in the place where you have to see the entire rainbow. Meaning, you have to see it hit the ground. On one side, hit the ground. On the other, I saw it twice. I saw the rainbow like that twice, where you can mamash see the curvature all the way down to the earth on both sides. L'chol hadeus, you can make the bracha when you see the rainbow like that. But let's say you only see a portion of the rainbow. Is a machlekes apoyskin if you make a bracha. In that case, you would just make the bracha without shame umalchus. You would just say, Baruch atah. You would not say, Hashem elokeinu melech olam. You would just say, Zoicher habris. V'neman bebrisai. Hashem remembers the bris. He's faithful bebrisai. V'kayim b'mamoro. There are three expressions over here, by the way. Hashem remembers the bris. He's neman bebrisai. And v'kayim b'mamoro. If you want to suggest like what we just said before, there are three parts of the bracha. The three parts of the bracha, going back now to the drush, correspond to the three different rainbows in the parasha. The first one is Zoicher HaBris. You remember the bris, that's the good. I don't know how you would match up to each part. The Zoicher HaBris, Neman Bebrisoi, the Kayom Bemamor. The will be the reversed. Zoicher HaBris, Hashem is not going to destroy the world. The next one is the Neman Bebrisoi, is faithful, which means the intermediate, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, but he's neman not to punish us. He's just giving us some musar. And the third one is the kind of memorial that the bris, that the rainbow represents something positive, encouragement. It means blessing. It's a sign of blessing. There are three parts to the bracha. There's also a dilemma if you should say v'neman. Is there a vav achibur? Okay, Rapapa says, Hilchon, Nemrena l'tarvayu, we do add the Vav, v'neman. Some hold that you should not add the Vav between the two parts. Should you tell a person that there's a rainbow outside? No, you're not supposed to. That's the halacha. If a person is inside, you're not supposed to tell him that there's a rainbow outside because it's considered to be l'halacha, bad news. And moitzi diba hu kisil. Can you make a bracha on a rainbow on a live stream, watching it live on television. Okay? No. You have to see with your own eyes. Seeing it even live. Not talking about a picture. That's of course not. If you see a rainbow, you go to Niagara Falls. They say that in Niagara Falls, you can see a rainbow 20 every single day. You can see a rainbow. Every single day, but it's not in the sky. It's because of when you look at the falls, when you look at the water at a certain time of the day, when the sun is a certain position, you can see up against the Niagara Falls, you can see a rainbow. Do you make a bracha? No. You only make a bracha on the rainbow when it's in the clouds, when it's in the sky, not when it's coming down, even though a waterfall is something which is natural. It's a natural flow of water, but it's not in the clouds. It's not in the sky. That does not qualify to make the bracha. Okay, as we said before, you make the bracha, you make the wrong bracha. Oisei ma'aseh bereishis. It's a bracha levatola. You have to repeat the bracha. Okay, now there's also a gemara. The gemara says you should not bow. The Gemara talks about this rainbow. So the Gemara said that Marava, they would bow when they would see the rainbow that represented Hashem's divine presence, like Yecheskel, they would bow down. So in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim who heard that people bow down, they curse them. Layit, they give a curse. You're not supposed to bow. The rainbow is not Hashem. The rainbow is just something, a dugma. Even though by Yecheskel it says when he saw Hashem, he saw the Shekhinah, he saw the Kedmus HaKeshes, it doesn't mean mamish, that's the Shekhinah. So therefore, a person should be careful not to bow. We don't say Aleinu after you say the bracha on the Keshes, because the Gemara explicitly warns against bowing to the rainbow. Yes, v'epel al panav, because by him it was a divine presence. When Yecheskel saw the rainbow, Yecheskel saw the Shekhinah. So Yecheskel bowed down. It says in the Pasuk, he saw Hashem's divine presence, and it looked like a rainbow, and he bowed. So it became the minhag. When people saw a rainbow, they would bow down. So in Eretz, when the Rabbanim, the Gemara says that when the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael heard that people were bowing down when they saw a rainbow, they cursed them. And they said, who do you think? You think Yecheskel? You think Yecheskel, you sing Hashem's divine presence? Yecheskel saw the Shekhinah. Yecheskel bowed. When Yecheskel said that he saw that it looked like a rainbow, even he saw the rainbow, he says that Hashem's divine, the Shekhinah that he saw resembled the rainbow. But when you're not seeing the divine presence, you're seeing a real rainbow. So don't go so far to bow. So therefore, there's a hakpot to be very careful not to bow. And that, by extension, not to say Aleinu. Okay, you don't go make a ceremony, you say Aleinu l'shamech v'anachnu konim m'shachem, or might even resemble you bowing at the rainbow, which would be a terrible mistake. Okay, there are more halachas. Let me just try to remember. Okay, we said before, if you only see a portion of the rainbow, you do not make a bracha. You have to see the entire rainbow. How often can you make a bracha? You can only make one bracha on one rainbow. In other words, if you come back, the cause of that rainbow, the conditions that produced the particular rainbow that you're making a bracha on have to come to an end, and new conditions have to arise to produce a new rainbow, a new storm. So you can make a bracha on a rainbow 10 times a day, provided that the conditions that have produced this rainbow are new, which is almost impossible. If you have a storm, the storm produces, it causes it rains, and there are clouds. I don't know all of the technical conditions that are necessary to produce a rainbow, but whatever those conditions are, if the rainbow appears and disappears multiple times during the day, you can only make one bracha, because the conditions that produce that rainbow are the same. But if those conditions completely dissipate, if you have in the morning, there was a storm from last night, there was a storm, okay, and you'll go to the meteorologist, they'll tell you that they have different names for different storms, and somehow they just happen to coincide I don't know what the weather conditions are to produce such a result, but if you have two different storms that can be considered to be different, and each one produced a rainbow on the same day, even though it's within a short period of time, being that there are two different conditions, you can make a bracha twice. Okay, that's the main idea. Okay, another halacha. Indoors, that's important halacha. Can you make a bracha on a rainbow from being indoor in your house? I'm inside and I can see out the window. Absolutely. There's no reason why you can't make a bracha. Glass is not a hefsek. The eyeglass are not a hefsek. The window is not called a hefsek. What about a person who has poor eyesight? You shouldn't make a bracha. If you go outside and you can't really see it, the person does not have good eyesight. His eyes are not clear. He doesn't have his glasses with him today. So he looks up into the sky and it's, don't you see the rainbow? Don't you see? I don't have my glasses. I see something. I can see you, but I can't really make out the colors of the rainbow. You cannot make the bracha. You have to clearly see the rainbow to make the bracha. A suma, someone who's blind cannot make it. By extension, the person that is not blind, is perfectly can see well, but doesn't have his glasses with him, he is not allowed to make the bracha. Do you stand when you make this bracha? So interesting, if the rainbow represents a representation of Hashem's divine presence, you would stand. But the minig is you don't have to stand. When you do Kiddush Levana, what is the halach? You must stand. When you're doing Kiddush Levana, you're being Makabel Penei HaShechina. When you make a bracha on the rainbow, it's not, even though it's Hashem, if we read over here that we read with the Pesukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to make a statement, Hashem is appearing, it is still not considered to be a representation of the divine presence. Okay, now I want to go back. I didn't finish up all the details. When we started with the rainbow, we asked a whole number of questions. We started with why does it say va'ani? So that we explained. We also asked the question, why suddenly is there no mention of women regarding the rainbow? We mentioned when we started that Noach, throughout the entire parsha, always says Mr. Noach and Mrs. Noach. She always gets honorable mention, Mrs. Noach, throughout the entire parsha, from beginning to end. Go into the teva, go out of the teva. I'm going to save you and your wife. Mrs. Noach gets a front seat in this parsha. The first time that Mrs. Noach disappears is in the parasha of the rainbow. I'm going to make a bris with you, Noach, and your children. What happened to Mrs. Noach? Here's the answer. The answer, now this is a bit of a drush, but we said before, HaKadosh Baruch gets angry. A rainbow represents a son that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with this generation. He's not happy. He has complaints, and he's going to destroy the world. And the only reason why he's not going to destroy the world is because there's a rainbow. What exactly is Hashem upset about? So if not, you would say that the Jewish people are just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Everyone has a mitzvah. Everyone has obligations. They're doing averos. They're not eating kosher. They're not being nizar in talking during davening. They're not nizer and sneels. They're not nizer and this, not nizer and that. They're doing this and that. Right? They're just not with the program. No. When you look at the Gemara, there's a theme which clearly appears in the Gemara. When the Gemara talks about generations where the rainbow did not appear, and the Gemara cites a number of generations, Chizkiyahu, Rashbi, Rishon Levi. When you study these people, who these people were, Rashbi was Toirasai Umnasai, Chizkiyahu was the generation where tinek v'tinekos, every single child was a baki in the study of Torah. The theme comes out that the rainbow is Hashem's anger that Jewish education is not being fulfilled the way it should be. The anger of the rainbow, the statement that I'm going to destroy the world, is not because you're eating chazer. It's not because you're not nizer in tznius. It's not because you're talking during davening. It's not because of you're stealing. You're ganovim. Terrible averas. It's not because you're murderers. There is one very specific sin. Very specific sin that is the theme from all the generations where the rainbow does not appear comes out, and that is the sin of a lack of Jewish education. Talmud Torah. It doesn't mean a koilel. It means Jewish education. Jewish education, people talk about the thing like, oh, Torah. No, it doesn't mean I'm talking about koil chazanish. We're talking about basic Jewish education. No child shall be left behind. Every child needs Jewish education. When you have a generation where their students are not learning the basics, that's where Hashem wants to destroy the world. And that's where he shows his anger. You better shape up in respect to Jewish education with a rainbow. And that is why Mrs. Noach doesn't appear suddenly in the parish of a rainbow. Because Jewish education, she has no obligation. That's not her department. V'shinantam livonecha, livonecha v'loy livnoisecha. And since she has no obligation, even though today in this world that we live in, the women do everything, and they do it a lot better than men, okay, that we know, and the women do, but still, Lord, when you talk in the technical terms, whose obligation, who has an obligation to provide for their children Jewish education? Men. Women by extension, but that's not the primary obligation. That explains why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the Ois Bris, he very conveniently and very openly omits women. The Keshes is Jewish education. It represents Torah. B'charbi uvikashti. Why is the sign a Keshes? So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel that the Cherev is Tefillah and the Keshes is Torah. This was designated as a sign because Asher lakachti miyad ho emori v'ani nosad chashchem achad alachech. Asher lakachti miyad ho emori charbi uvikashti. The Cherev is the Cherev of Tefillah and the Keshes is the Keshes of Talmud Torah. So being that the Keshes, the rainbow, represents Torah, that's what Hashem's message is. Shape up on Jewish education. With that, we will conclude our discussion of the rainbow. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your day, Mitch. From tomorrow, we will continue.
Rabbi Levine,
yes.
I heard an interview with Nathan Lewin on Zeb Brenner, and
what
it seems that Amy Barrett, when she finished being a clerk to Justice Scalia, she worked in his law firm.
Wow.
And worked with him on a number of cases involving Jews, Chabad menorahs and some other things.
It's not a good sign, though. Nat Lewin has not won a case in a long time.
Did you see the
well, those were the pro bono cases.
All right, let's hope Amy does better than that. I hope he doesn't hear me.
The questionnaire gave Judge Amy.
Yeah.
They asked her which of these groups do you affiliate yourself with? And one of them was Chabad, and she circled Chabad.
Really? She's not Jewish.
It was a question: Chabad, equalitarian.
She's not Jewish. She has no. She's not a Jewish woman.
I don't know. And but she said, I know this one.
Fascinating. Very fascinating. Nat Lewin wanted very much to be a Supreme Court justice. That I can tell you.
Well, he was friends with all of them.
He just a matter of timing. He was certainly on a list. There's no question that he was on someone's list at some point in time, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen. All right.
All right.
What do they say? She's gonna get in? Yeah, I heard it's very likely.
Let you know about that.
Is she gonna get in, Amy?
Michael Yochum Rubenstein. Well, Yochum Rubenstein finally got it. He also wanted to do it.
Mayor, what happened to you today?
Who?
Eliakim Rubenstein.
What about him?
Please, that's a horse of another color.
That's an Israeli. Isn't he a justice?
The
in
rainbow
Israel?
Of another color.
But who is? Isn't that a justice in Eretz Yisrael? Who's he?
Yeah.
He was the attorney general, and I think he was the.
He turned out to be very, very liberal.
They elect. They have a problem there. They elect their own.
AB, I think he's related. He's related to AB Kolodny, I think. His wife is maybe.
He was a Tolkien Yarmulke.
Yeah.
No. He's a shtick Talmud.
Nobody says he's not a Talmud. His rulings were very liberal.
Yeah. Right. Like Beis Hillel.
Mayor, what happened to you today?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were you today?
I'm busy. I'm still in the
hospital.
NYU. The machinery got screwed up, so we're sitting here 2 hours.
How is she?
I want to tell you something. Last night at 7 o'clock, Tamari came running to me. And she says, "Rabbi Frying is here." At 7 o'clock, she moved she had a shear. So
okay.
She wouldn't settle. I had to give her YU Torah, put on a Parsha Shavua.
Okay, good. So what happened over Shabbos? What happened over, everything okay over Shabbos? The world's still spinning?
Where?
I don't know. What's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah, so this event that I zoomed in on was quite interesting.
What is the event? Fill us in. Which event did you zoom in on? Where was this?
It was sponsored by Jexit, which is Jews exiting from the Democrat Party.
Never heard that before.
And, so they had many speakers. In fact, I couldn't believe how long it went on. And some of them are very well known. Anyway, these ladies who ran the show, actually they've just joined my group. One is a black Gioris, very interesting lady. And all of these people, very inspired, very spirited. And they also brought in some non-Jews, also very big on values and Israel. Charles Jacobs from Boston. I don't know, Mayor, I don't know if you're still on, if you know of him. Very active. And
what's his name again?
Rabbi, what's his name? The head of Jewish Values Coalition. Obviously, she's Sephardic, and she quoted Rabbi Victor Miller, but that really blew my mind. Oh, Rabbi Menken, that's who I was referring to. So they had a lot of really good speakers. People are really energized.
How many people were on the group?
Hmm?
How many people too zoomed in?
How many what?
How many people zoomed in?
You know what? They didn't show. They didn't show you the other people.
But you.
They didn't have that button.
On the bottom where you can
see.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten an answer yet. I mean, there were a number of people making comments, but for some reason they didn't put in the audience. It was only like one visual at a time. So it was unusual in that respect. But some of these people, you know, kind of Florida and Maryland and Boston and New York, some of these speakers, you know, they get it. They really do. It was quite interesting. And I was surprised at the level of Jewish awareness of some of these folks. They're strangers to